This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel really good about it. Really, really good. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, one of the main intersections in the heart of Merritt Island. You can get to us from anywhere in Brevard County, because I've been to almost everywhere in Brevard County. And we are thankful. God has had our church at the corner of Grove and Tangerine since 1952. We're still declaring the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, Jesus heals. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is coming again to rule and reign. And so we would like to invite you out to be a part of our services. In Sunday school right now, there's been a study going on about how to present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to people that may have some entrenched ideas about rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Pastor Harley has been doing a great job in teaching that. And if you'd like to come and be a part of that, that's Sunday mornings at 9:30. And then I preach at 10:30. So thank you for listening today. We're going to dive into Psalm 118 today. Psalm 118. And this psalm has a very important passage of scripture. We've already talked about it before, so I'm just going to kind of highlight it. But it says in Psalm 118, 22 through 24, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So when religious leadership of his day rejected Jesus as an acceptable Messiah, as far as they were concerned, God said, I don't agree. And it says that it is that the day they rejected him, that was the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so if you've ever dealt with rejection, good news is God is greater than those who rejected you. And so you need to make sure that you pay attention to God's voice and not to the voice of those who are looking to tear you down or see you less than what God sees you. So Psalm 118, I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's 29 verses here. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the light, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So I want to just pick a few verses here to highlight as we're talking about praising the Lord and giving thanks to him. Verse number 13 describes a reality that we may experience here in this life. It says, you pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. We had a situation at our house the other day, and we were having a conversation. I had seen some videos. We have a toddler that runs around our house, and we are having a great time enjoying the new experiences that they encounter day after day. But there's a lot of falling when it comes to toddlers, when they're beginning to experience new ways of getting from point A to point B. You know, God gives us some padding to help cushion the fall. But sometimes at that young age, it really doesn't take much to get them to the point that they're unstable and they can fall. And my son-in-law had kept this toddler from injuring themselves very much because he saw the fall coming, and that led into discussions that we had about all of the times that we had protected, you know, kids from getting injured because they were falling, and it required, and God just gave people insight and creativity. And I said, man, there's a series of videos that I see occasionally on social media where a dad can be all the way across the room and he can see this baby that's getting ready to fall and bump their head, and he takes a pillow and flings it across the room, and it lands underneath the baby's head. And I've seen, you know, videos where dogs protected babies, and, you know, we spend so much emphasis on making sure that people don't get hurt when they fall. But we live in a society that the farther we get away from God, not only is the concern for other people not getting injured when they fall, not only does that percentage drop, but there is an increase in the percentage of people who will fulfill what verse number 13, they push violently that people might fall. And so you see people over the past several years that they're just walking along. They don't know the person there on the sidewalk with them or anything. And they just push them to where they end up, you know, falling in front of a car or falling in front of a subway train. I want you to know that the enemy would love to destroy you. He'd love to get you in harm's way. And I pray that God protects you and that you realize that while the enemy is trying to harm you, that the Lord helped me. I've made this comment about my siblings and myself, and that is, I think it's a miracle any of us survived childhood. All of us had potential life-threatening situations, and in each one of those, thankfully, we were okay. It wasn't always pretty, but we all survived, you know. And then I put that in the perspective of what is it going to look like when we get to heaven and our spiritual eyes are opened to realize that God helped us a lot more than what we thought. A lot of times here on earth, we say, God, where are you? God, why aren't you helping? Why are you so far away? And when in reality, he is very near, he is very close, and he's working behind the scenes, especially for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, he works all things together for our good. And so no matter who pushes us, God's the one who helps us. And so I have this saying that for believers, death does not get the last word. Jesus does. And for believers, God is the one who is my shield. He is my fortress. He is my protector. And he is my helper. And his help is not just natural. It's not just compassionate. It's divine. It's supernatural. I don't want you looking at the events taking place in the world and seeing catastrophe. I want you to look and say, hey, thank God for his help. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out that God intervened a lot more than what we were aware of. So praise God for his help. It says here in verse 14 that the Lord is three things, my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. So his might, his power, his ability has now been made available to us. There, I don't know if you remember the old television series, Home Improvement, Tim the Tool Man Taylor, and it was more power, more power, more power. And, you know, sometimes, you know, he got carried away on that program with more power. But I can tell you this, with God as the Lord of your life, all of heaven's resources are at his disposal. And since we're walking in covenant relationship with him, all of heaven's resources are at our disposal. So I don't have to look at the challenge, the problem, the thing that is threatening to take me out and evaluate the circumstances by that problem's strength versus my strength. Instead, I get to look at it and say, how's that poor little weak problem going to measure up against an omnipotent God? So my son-in-law and I, we go to the same gym. We have different schedules. We don't get there at the same time most of the time, but once a week or once every other week, something like that, we end up, you know, there at the same time. And I can tell you that as a person who's lifted weights for a larger percentage of his life than I've lifted weights as a percentage of my life, what we are able to do at the gym is vastly different. We have different goals. I'm trying to create muscles so that I can burn more calories. you know, he's got muscles where I didn't even know that there were, you know, could be muscles there. He is much more physically fit than I. He played high school football. I watched high school football. I mean, we have that in common, you know. And he likes college football, and I like college football. But, you know, if we had to look at the what we were able to accomplish physically, he's going to have greater metrics far and away. Far and away. I don't want you to look at your challenges, the things that you're facing. Maybe you're staring at an impossible situation, but you serve a God who does the impossible. He makes everything possible. His strength, and the Lord is my strength and the Lord is my song. So if you watch a lot of old movies, you see that there were people who they panicked all the time. It was just nothing but panic. With my grandchildren, they watch some videos and they learn about animals and what noises they make and how to identify the animals according to the sound. I wonder what sound a believer is supposed to make. That when we're under pressure, we have a song. That's really what it is. We have a song of praise. We have a song of joy. We have a song of victory. We have a song of relationship. We have a song of hope and a future. We have a song of the fact we've been redeemed. We've got a testimony. I pray that when you're under pressure, that the sound that you and I make, the song that we sing, is not a song of complaining. It's not, as John Maxwell said, a dirge. He tells a story about he was pastoring in California and there was an organist that was taking the offertory, and it went on and on and on, and it was pretty melancholy. And he said, "What in the world was that?" And the organ player said it was a 14th century dirge or something like that. And John Maxwell's response was, "Let's purge the dirge. Let's not do that ever again." I don't know why that sticks with me, but it does. Occasionally we may hit a wrong note. Occasionally we may make a sound that wasn't the sound we were intending. But for the most part, as a believer, we have a song of victory. We have a song that is based in experience and encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so whenever you are under pressure, I pray that it is faith that comes out, not fear. I pray that it is confident expectation of God moving on your behalf and not anxiety or worry. And I pray it's a song of praise and not a song of complaining. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I wonder, what has God become from your experience? Now, what I mean by that is not that God's qualities have changed. It's not that he's new and improved. It's not that it wasn't revealed that that's what he was capable of and willing to do. But from your experience, from the trials you've been in, from the physical challenges that you've had, that you have found that God is your Savior, he is your salvation, and he's your safe place. He has become my salvation. So he is my strength, my song, and has become my salvation. And I pray that as we finish up 2025, that God's manifestation in your life and his activity, his leadership and lordship over your life, it becomes greater and greater. Verse number 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. That verse concludes, which is verse number 15, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. So, I've got several decades of experience here in Brevard County, and over the last 5 to 10 years, whenever I've gone to the doctor, they have these prescriptions that they want me to take. It's not because, you know, they have them on sale or anything like that. It's because I need some healing in some parts of my body and things like that. And so there's a prescription. They say, take, you know, when you experience this, take this, things like that. I would like to, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a mental health counselor. I'm not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist. I'm a pastor. I've never played any of those things on television. I don't pretend to be any of those things. But I do understand the Word of God. And when the Word of God details something should be normal in our life, I want to make sure that that is in operation in my life. Normal for Christians may look abnormal to the world, but it is normal for heaven. So you may want to write this verse down. Psalm 118, verse number 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. You might want to write that down, because that is telling you, it is a prescription for what our homes should be like. Our homes should be filled with rejoicing. Our homes should be filled with salvation, to where it is not just one member of the household that is saved. It is not just a couple of members of the household are saved, but that all of the members of the household have been saved. And rejoicing, joy in the Holy Spirit, is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. It is a mark of distinction. And so because we're saved, we should look at each day as a gift to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is something in society where people have faced tragedy and they survived, and yet they relive a sorrow from that. And I think they title it something like survivor's guilt or something like that. But I want you to know that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have survivor's joy. You have rejoicing, you have salvation, and you have righteousness. Listen, righteousness is not optional for the kingdom of God. Righteousness is a condition of right standing before God and the lifestyle that represents that right standing. And so it causes us to live. Righteousness is not boring. It's just not injurious. It doesn't harm us. The righteousness of God causes our homes to be a place where we have rejoicing. So I'm going to give you a little glimpse into our home here, and that is this. We love to laugh. Some of our greatest memories have come with uncontrollable expressions of laughter. It might not have started off that way, but it ended up with tremendous amounts of joy. So, I don't remember what the triggering event was for my wife. And if you knew my wife's upbringing and some of the challenges and things like that, you might not think that she ought to be able to have that much joy. It was not a museum like upbringing. It was filled with some challenges, but God's greater than the challenge. And whenever something comes and happens and it causes my wife to start laughing, you might as well push back in your chair. You might as well grab some popcorn and enjoy the episode of laughter that is going to go on, because it could go on for a long, long time, to where you think she's got to stop laughing in a minute so she can catch a breath. And then she takes a breath only so she can keep on laughing again. And some of those experiences have gone on. Once that season was over, that season of laughter, a week later, she might think about it and start all over again. And there was one particular episode. I don't remember what it was about or anything, but it had been years since it happened, and somebody brought that up, and she immediately started laughing and laughing and laughing. I want you to know, folks, that the joy of the Lord is not supposed to be an infrequent experience for the believer. It should be our normal. Listen, all your sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. The wages of sin have been canceled, and you have been blessed with the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have a place that is being prepared for you by God Himself, that where He is, there you may be also. You have been blessed and highly favored. You have been blessed with health and soundness of mind. You've been blessed to live in one of the greatest countries around the globe. You've been blessed to live at such a time as this. I know it's Friday, and I know a lot of people look forward to going out and having a happy event, but I pray that more than happiness, you have the joy of the Lord, that your house is not known by the number of police cars that show up, but instead it is known by rejoicing and salvation and righteousness. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Make a plan to be in the house of the Lord, or we'll see you here Monday on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.